This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
2-1 for me this week. Let me just mark that off with a lovely win by Minnesota last night on Monday night.
Big cojones by you. Big cojones on that pick.
How so?
Well, Kirk Cousins never won on Monday night.
Yeah, but the Bears are awful.
I get it.
I can't watch Chicago play offense. It is painful to watch.
They got a good defense.
Offense
that was a winnable
worse,
game.
The Bears or the Jets?
Ooh.
It might be the Bears.
Not might. The Bears offense is brutal.
You like that?
Brutal.
You like that?
That was a winnable game for the Bears last night.
I mean, you could argue they should have won it. They led by a touchdown into the third quarter at home, but they can't move the football.
No, they can't. I mean, it was 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. They took that big shot down the left sideline. Anthony Miller can't make the catch. I mean, Nick Foles is not a good quarterback. Let's face it.
I told Santiago this before the show. Before we do this, good morning. Let's get the good mornings out. Good morning, Chris Canty. I know you're a big superstar, but good morning to you.
I don't know why you said that.
Because you're doing KJZ. You're a big star today.
Oh, yeah. I got to hang out with my former teammate and kick it back and forth a little bit. That was nice. You know, it's two-a-days, Dave. right now is you know, I'm on DCR, and it's good to be back with you guys and doing our thing.
Well,
you know
good
saying?
Morning to you, Rick.
He's got the beard morning. Back, looking stylish, fancy new watch. Is that a new watch? Was that the birthday present? Was that watch the birthday present?
That was the birthday present from the girlfriend.
See,
well, one of
things?
The birthday presents.
Yeah. One of.
Yeah, we don't.
One of the birthday presents.
You can tell me
there
about the
several.
Other birthday. Yeah, you can tell me about the other birthday present off the. Off
yeah,
the,
we can't yeah. talk about those on air.
Big day for me yesterday, David. Big day.
What? Tell us. Tell us what happened for you yesterday.
Pandemic Rick has taken his parenting slash husband role to a whole nother level. Whole nother level.
I mean, is this going to be something now. That Santiago potentially has to dump, or is this going to be clean for children to
no,
eat?
No, this is clean. This okay. is, I mean, what it led to, I don't want to discuss because Santi will have to do multiple dumps because it was that great. I actually, now, and again, whoever decided to build this house did a great job. I have no complaints outside of the fact that anyone that owns a house realizes that everything in your house usually has an expiration date. Like at a certain point, 5 years, 10 years, it's almost like as soon as the warranty runs out, it just kicks the bucket. I'm sure you deal with that. I mean, you don't obviously
well,
fix anything.
Our house is newer, but still we have things happen, yes.
Yeah, things happen. The whole kitchen, everything's built in. Like everything is built in. So to try to like replace something is virtually impossible. Like it would take a humongous effort to replace something.
So what did you do? You cobbled together a way that you could fix something that was broken.
Here's the thing, though. We've been with no microwave for like the last 2 years because you could only
replace 2 years.
Well, yeah. Well, you don't really need a. I don't need a microwave. It's convenient to have a microwave, but it needs to be an exact certain size, and we couldn't find one that was the right size. So we just said, you know what? You know, we don't need a microwave. Let's just. We'll get past it.
You built your own microwave over the
last
2 years.
No, somehow Cassie gets an alert, like from, I don't know what it was, like a Target alert, that there was this microwave on sale. Just so happens it's like the perfect size that we've been looking for. So she orders this thing.
Right.
And now who's going to put this thing in?
Oh, you installed.
Oh, did I install?
You installed.
Oh, did I install? Gorgeous. Fully functional microwave. Brand new. Spanking new. Looks terrific.
Great. So you're handy.
Surprisingly, yes. Pandemic Rick is very handy, believe
nice.
It or not.
Handier than Nick Foles under center, I'll tell you that.
Ooh.
Wow.
Man, he's not good.
That's terrible.
That's disrespectful. I mean, he's an NFL quarterback.
I don't know how at this point. Really, he might be worse than Mr. Trubisky.
Yeah, and the Chicago Bears thought things would get better by switching play callers and going from Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor, and it actually got worse when nobody thought that was even possible. I mean, that offense is terrible, man.
Terrible.
I don't know where they go right now. I mean, they're going into the bye week. It's coming at the right time. But, I mean, Nick Foles gets carted off at the end of the game. They got to turn to Tyler Bray. I'm pretty sure that they don't want to have to give it back to Mitch Trubisky, but they might not have any other choice, Dave.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. As I'm watching the game last night, and there's a good chance that, Rick, that you're going to yell at me and disagree vehemently, and Chris as well, but I don't think as pronounced. I had this thought. And I analyzed it, and I thought about it, and I believe even more so that it's true this morning than I did last night. I'm going to say it. Take a moment before you just explode with your answer. I would rather be in the Jets' position than the Bears, long term.
Would rather.
No, I know
be
why you're saying that.
Jets,
because you're going to have a better chance of being able to get a quarterback.
The Bears can never. They're always 500. they never have an opportunity to get one of these guys.
No, they had an opportunity. They just picked the wrong guy. In 2017, your general manager moved up from 3-2 to take Mitch Trubisky when he should have taken Deshaun Watson or Pat Mahomes.
Correct. But that was their chance.
That now was their chance.
They're too good to get one of these guys. So, Rick, think about that for a minute. Moving forward, obviously this year is a lost year for probably both teams at this point, certainly the Jets. I would rather be the Jets than the Bears. What do you think about that?
Would rather be the Jets than the Bears.
Yes.
Interesting, because the Bears do have a really good defense.
Really good.
Like, that's established.
Top 10 defense, okay, absolutely.
And it feels like there will be quite a few quarterbacks available this offseason that you could plug in right away and would be better than Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles.
Agreed. But not franchise quarterbacks. Better than those guys, but not franchise quarterbacks.
Can Matt Nagy make one of them a franchise quarterback? I would disagree. Well, I would rather be the Bears.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Rico. And to your point, we don't know what Sam Darnold is going to be, but if the Jets end up with the number one pick, we know they're probably going to be moving on from him.
Yep.
So there's a real possibility, if you're the Bears, that you would trade, you know, a second-round pick or a third-round pick to try to bring over Sam. Who knows what Matt Nagy can make him? Maybe he can have a Ryan Tannehill-like resurgence with his career. Maybe that's possible. But, I mean, today's point, I just feel like with that Bears team, I mean, if things continue to trend the way that they are now, they're probably talking about making some serious changes, including the head coach and the general manager. If you start 5-1 and you have a collapse and you end up a 6-win team.
Yeah, they're not going to the playoffs.
No. I don't. They got to try to win a game. That's what it comes down to. Like, they've got to try to win a game, and with an offense that could only muster 149 points against a depleted Minnesota Vikings secondary, I don't know how it's going to get much better. Like, I feel like this is one of those teams that's going to be primed for infighting in the locker room just because the defense is a championship-level unit.
Yeah, they must hate the offense.
The offense is awful.
Yeah, they must absolutely
hate
them.
Anytime the special teams or the defense outscores your offense, you're in bad shape.
So, Chris, are you on board with my take, with my hot take, that you'd rather be the Jets than the Bears?
Yeah, I'm on board with it, Dave.
Nice.
I'm on board with it, yeah.
I got Chris, and he hosted KJZ this morning.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Here's where I get what you're saying, but if you look at where the NFC North is with the quarterback, right? Bears clearly need a quarterback. You don't love Kirk Cousins. Aaron Rodgers, who knows how much longer he's going to be in Green Bay? And then how long is Matt Stafford going to be in Detroit? AFC East, Tua is a rookie. Josh Allen's young. Jets don't have a quarterback yet, and you still have Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
I would factor that into the equation.
It's a valid conversation, but I don't think it. Like, look, the Bears are 5-5.
And you said the AFC is loaded, so I would rather be in the NFC, which is not nearly as loaded as the AFC.
Listen, I understand the AFC is a more loaded conference, but here's the thing: it's a 5-5 team versus an 0-9 team, and I can make that statement, and you don't think it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard.
No, it's not the dumbest thing you've ever heard. Just because you're going to have money to spend, you'll have, I mean, the excitement of the first overall pick in the quarterback and whoever your new head coach ends up being. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a level of excitement, but, I mean, that Bears defense is legitimate.
For now.
Well, yeah, for now. And we'll see what happens with the coach and the GM. Chris is probably right. I mean, if the wheels continue to fall off, there's probably going to be changes. So, ultimately, you might be right. There'll be a lot of turnover. Like, who knows if Allen Robinson's going to be there? He probably won't be there. They can't run the football.
In fact, I mean, if I was the Jets, he'd be one of the guys that I would target to bring in this season.
Well, you need help. Clearly, you need help.
All
over the place with the Jets.
All over the place. So quickly, we'll touch on the Giants. The story that broke yesterday as we were saying goodbye, and this new story about COVID testing positive. And then we'll get into the NBA. 800-919-3776. Mike Tenenbaum, right at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. And then CMT. Today at 10:30. That's
allegedly
I know you're
CMT.
Spending a lot of time with the microwave and all that kind of stuff, but you've had time to focus on a little CMT as well, yes?
Oh, it depends on what I'm going to get from my co-hosts. Am I going to get a lame eye? I agree across the board. Or am I going to get some fireworks?
Honestly,
garbage. Look at this garbage.
When there's agreement across the board, I think it's the questioner. I don't think it's the answers.
Listen, we're putting on a radio show.
Yeah,
a radio show for entertainment.
Correct.
You can disagree just to disagree.
So you want us to hear the same three potential answers, and because it's a, quote, show, fake, and not be legitimate to who we are?
I would like one of you to take on the role as the defense attorney. when your client clearly is probably guilty, but you have to argue that he's innocent? Like, in certain situations, I would like you to take on that role.
I'm not
going to
lie. Like
the DeAndre Baker defense attorney.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got you.
Do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to move this thing along, huh?
Yeah, exactly right. Let's entertain the people that are listening. We only got 2 hours. Let's make it the best damn 2 hours.
Maybe if the questions were a little more, I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
Diabolical or
diabolical. You act like it's easy to come up with NFL questions twice a week.
You don't have to go NFL. I mean, NBA free agency is starting. The draft is tomorrow. You could go NBA. You got Thanksgiving next week.
Because
that's a controversial take on the holiday of holidays.
Because that's what I'm going to drop on you. Just on a random Tuesday, I'm going to give you 3 NBA draft picks. You cuddle, marry, trash one of them. Stop. I wouldn't do that to you.
I'd welcome that.
You full of baloney.
Welcome that.
Start throwing names you never even heard of.
I challenge you for that.
How lazy is it, too? Bogdanovich?
What do you mean? Yeah. You're annoyed at his parents?
Yeah, it's so lazy. Isn't that lazy?
Yeah, because his family's better than Pete Peters.
Well, that's bad, too. I didn't say I'm not letting Pete Peters' parents off the hook, but Bogdanovich. I mean, come on. Some creativity.
Oh, my God. How lazy
you
are
have
you
a problem.
People?
You have a problem.
Step it up. Come on.
Your
kid's going to live with this.
You're funny. All right, let's spend a minute on the Giants. So this is DeAndre Baker, and I got a lot of texts yesterday. Do you think they bring him back? No, they are not bringing him back. There is zero chance, Chris, that the Giants are going to bring back DeAndre Baker into the mix here moving forward.
Yeah, and Joe Judge said as much, right? He's like, all right, we moved on from a reason, and we like where our team is at. That's him basically saying the door is closed for DeAndre Baker and a potential reunion with the Giants, even though Baker said that's something that he would welcome. But with all of the charges being dropped, there are going to be teams that are interested in DeAndre Baker, so he'll get a second chance. But the Giants are not going back across that bridge again. That opportunity is gone for Baker.
I think if he was a better player,
yes,
and there weren't so many issues inside the locker room, they probably don't move on as quickly as they moved on. He was a first-round pick they traded up for.
If you watched him in his first year and he was good, they wouldn't have cut ties so quickly. I agree with you across the board, 100%. But he was lousy.
Well, he was lousy, and on top of it, I mean, he's called immaturity, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he was not what you were hoping for as far as, you know, being a professional, falling asleep in meetings and everything else.
Well, especially Enrico, getting himself caught up in this type of situation during a pandemic where you're not supposed to be at any large gatherings, like that's a part of professionalism or lack thereof. So, I mean, he put himself in a compromising situation and the worst happened. Now you're just glad that he's going to get another opportunity to play football. He can resurrect his career. But, I mean, if you're the Giants, what Joe Judge is doing from a culture standpoint, why would you want to introduce that kind of element back to that locker room? Everybody is buying into what Joe Judge is trying to do. Like, why would you want to get somebody that's not the epitome of where this team is going from a culture standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, there really hasn't been. I mean, Joe Judge has not had a misstep yet.
Nope.
I mean, how he handled the Golden Tate thing was perfect. I mean, the fact that you sit him
textbook.
Out. Well, you sit him out and you still win. And then, I mean.
And then you get production from him in the next game.
Exactly right. And you had Austin Mack step up in his absence. I mean, so far what Joe Judge has done in the program he's trying to build, I would not do anything to mess that up. And, yeah. And it's not like you can just all of a sudden plug DeAndre Baker in and he's going to actually – that's going to equate into more wins.
No. And there's going to be some kind of punishment from the NFL, you'd assume, too.
I don't know. Is there, though?
Is there? Yeah, that's the other
part. Dunbar's,
I mean, they still got to do their full investigation.
Yeah, but Quentin Dunbar's playing.
Well, I don't think his was to the level of Baker. He's not going to play this year.
He wants to play this year. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that.
I mean, he's already missed this much time. I mean, we're halfway through the season, and all charges were dropped because this was extortion. I mean, yeah, you hate the fact that he got himself caught up in this situation, but to extend
the discipline beyond that, like another 7 weeks,
no,
it does feel a little excessive when all charges were dropped. So I'm with you on that one. He might get an opportunity to catch on. It's not going to be with the Giants.
No, let him catch on. Let him have success. But just not with the Giants. It's not going to happen. And
the reason why he would say the Giants is because of the fact he was a first round, like they traded up. Like it would look, in a perfect world, it would look better. It would look better on Dave Gettleman if you did find a way to bring him back, and he actually turned into what you hoped. But that's not going to happen.
And let's be honest, Rico, from a talent standpoint, like, the Giants could use him. Like, I know he wasn't good, but from a talent standpoint, they don't have a lot at the cornerback spot.
No.
Like, it's James Bradbury and everybody else.
Yep.
Like, Yottam has played a little bit better, but, I mean, they cut Corey Ballantyne last week. Like, the Giants are struggling at the cornerback spot. So, if you did have a chance to have somebody with the talent of Baker, then you would explore it. But just with all of the baggage that comes along with it and how things played out, there's no way that the Giants can go back down that road.
No, and they pretty much said so yesterday. So there we are with that. 800-919-3776. Let's go to a couple calls, and then we'll get into the NBA. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, good morning. You're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I tell you, the Bears and Foles, I tell you, that offense is really I think the Jets are in a much better situation right now with the Bears. Especially, I get it with the Bears' defense, but, you know, if you look down the road next year, I think the Jets have a lot of ammunition where they could vastly improve this team because it can't get much worse. And, you know, when I heard the news about Sam not playing this week, I wasn't shocked. I think him and probably the medical staff is doing the smart thing. If he's not 100%, there's just no point of putting him out there right now. Of course, his value goes down. Each game he misses, I mean, it would be a shame if he only gets to play 3 or 4 more games, you know, this year. But you got to make sure he's 100%. And you know what? Whoever's advising him, plus himself and his parents, he knows the Jets are going to move on from him. So he should protect himself. And if he's not right, he should pull himself out. There's no point in stepping on that field and jeopardizing your career for a team that's going to end up moving you at the end of the season.
Yeah, you want to be healthy. I mean, wherever it ends up being. I mean, Kayshaw does a great job of actually asking him the questions that we want the answers to. I mean, I feel bad for Sam that he's got to do it.
It's painful.
It's painful. I mean, it's tough. I give the kid credit, though. I mean, he shows up and he does it, and he fulfills his obligation. But, I mean, they keep asking him about the surgery. He was a little bit hesitant yesterday. Like, he didn't 100% sell me on it, but that would be the last thing you want to have happen is he comes back too soon, you know, separates it again, and now all of a sudden you're talking about, you know, him getting surgery on his throwing shoulder, which is, I mean, that's the last thing he'd want.
Yeah, that's the last thing Sam wants, but that's also the last thing the Jets want too, right? Because they want him to be as healthy as possible so they can fetch the highest draft pick compensation that they can get for him. Because if they end up with the number one pick or a top two pick, they're going to take a quarterback, and they're probably going to flip Sam. You want him to be as healthy as possible. It's hard to make that trade when a guy's not healthy.
Stop saying if. Stop saying if we get the first overall pick. That's all we have right now.
Well,
what you want me to say, man? You got 7 games left. What do you want me to say?
You better not win a game.
Start rooting for Jacksonville, please. If you love me, root for Jacksonville. I need a win. Well, Jacksonville, come on, baby.
Well, let me tell you, this week in San Diego, don't be surprised. The Chargers are, you know, they don't know how to win games either. And with Flacco a quarterback, it wouldn't shock me if the Jets go out there. But let me just throw this. Well,
hopefully the Jets go to San Diego and they have to forfeit because they
they're in the wrong place.
This is not where we're supposed to be.
Right? But listen, you know, 35 quarterbacks have been drafted in the last 10 years, approximately. I think my numbers are right. Out of those 35, 15 ended up being, I don't want to label them busts, but they never really lived up to their expectations. So it shows you it's a crapshoot. That's almost 50% failure rate. So it's...
Now, when you say 35 quarterbacks, this is overall in the draft?
Yes, since 2010, there have been 35 quarterbacks. No, in the first round.
Oh, in the first round, okay.
In the first round. 15 out of those 35 quarterbacks ended up being, I'm going to label them busts. Because if you're a quarterback taken in the first round, you should at least be a top 15 quarterback. And they're not. And a lot of these guys are not even in the
league. Time out, Ira. I mean, you got to go. That's not, you can't put a blanket.
No, you got to do like top 5 picks, I think. Top 5 quarterbacks taken.
And where these quarterbacks, like, what situation these quarterbacks are.
You're putting Drew Locke up against Trevor Lawrence then.
It depends on the situation, too.
Analyze it a little differently.
It depends on the situation, too. I mean, the fact that Mitch Trubisky was drafted second overall, that's a mistake by the Bears.
Yes.
And they put him in a terrible situation because the expectations were so high. And then on top of it, who got drafted behind him?
Oh,
I mean, that's
two studs.
Studs.
That's a franchise-altering selection. Like,
yes.
That changes the look of a franchise for 15 years, maybe more.
Could you imagine if they had Deshaun Watson, what that team would look
They'd be the best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
The NFC.
If they had Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, they'd be the best team in the NFC. Not to mention they moved up to get Mitchell Trubisky.
Which is crazy.
Because they completely freaked out that he was, for some reason, going to get taken. They got played.
Big time.
That was a good job by the 49ers.
Great job by the Niners.
Yeah.
Not surprising. Let's go to Howie in Locust Valley. Howie, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing today?
Good. What's going on, Howie?
So, a couple of things. On the Gettleman scorecard, Chris, you said yesterday that he drafted a felon. I think you owe him an apology.
I'm not apologizing for that. DeAndre Baker put himself in a bad situation, okay? You can say whatever you want about it, but that was a mistake by Dave Gettleman to move up to get DeAndre Baker because they ended up having to cut ties with the kid in less than 2 years.
I don't agree with you at all, but I think the fact that you called him a felon before he actually—
That was a tongue-in-cheek comment. Stop it, man. The guy had armed robbery charges on him. What do you want me to do? There was enough to support those charges being brought on him, okay? So you can say whatever you want. DeAndre Baker put himself in a bad situation. Now, was it as bad as the witnesses portrayed it? No. But DeAndre Baker had no business being at that event. None. So, I mean, I don't feel like I owe him an apology. Not apologizing to DeAndre Baker.
My next question to both of you is, are we going to see Leon Rose be the next Brody Van Wagenen? And I'll hang up the phone and answer your question.
Why would you even say something like that? The guy hasn't even started yet. Don't put that on the Knicks yet, please. Come on.
Be awful.
It would be terrible.
I don't think so. And thanks for the call. It's got to be better than that.
You would hope.
You would hope. You'd almost say it can't be worse, right?
I don't like to even do that, no.
I know you don't. I know 2020, that's something that you don't say, but come on.
No, I mean, listen, Brody Van Wagenen was not good at what he did. He was not good at what he did at all. And now Sandy Alston's going to have to pick up the pieces.
And he will.
The best thing he did was sign Jacob DeGrom to that deal, J.D. Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a ton of great.
It was not. I mean, if you did a column of pros and a column of cons, it would be.
Yeah.
The amount of picks he gave up, too, Dave. The amount of players he gave up to make some of these moves, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you gave away a player to get Mariznick. You gave away a player to bring in Hamilton, which didn't work out. I mean, it's the one thing Sandy Alston said, too, is they got no depth right now.
They have none. But he'll fix it. I have complete confidence.
Yeah, I do, too. But, I mean, this would be one of those opportunities where if you hadn't made some of the moves that Brody made, I mean, Lindor would seem like a no-brainer.
Yes, but do you want to deplete the farm system even more by bringing in Lindor? I understand. You're right. But you know what? That it feels good right now. And
I'd
be hard-pressed to not think in a couple weeks you won't even feel better as a Mets fan.
No, I know I'll feel better, but this is what happens when you make a decision like hiring Brody Van Wagenen.
Yeah, listen, we didn't like it at the time. It got worse and worse, and it was to the point that a new owner couldn't even conceive keeping him on staff.
How could you?
That's how bad it was. When do you think this stuff starts happening in free agency?
Hopefully soon. I'd like to get some action going. We got the NBA draft tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
See if the Knicks start making some moves. See if Harden ends up in Brooklyn, which for us would be great.
Oh, great.
That'd be awesome.
Awesome for us.
I'd love that. So let's go there. Is that the right move? I mean, if you're Brooklyn, you want to go
for us
KD,
or the Nets?
Kyrie and James Harden.
Unless Kyrie's involved in the deal. I don't know how it works. Would I take Harden over Kyrie? Absolutely.
Yes.
But all three, I don't know if, like I heard in Jay Will filling on, I mean, jumping on as a guest, I heard him, you make it work. It ain't that easy. You can't just say you make it work. Guys need to buy into making it work and sacrifice to make it work.
The biggest question is, will Kyrie buy in? Because he's the one that's going to be affected the most, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to be the primary ball handler in Brooklyn. It's going to be James Harden. So is Kyrie okay with being an off-the-ball guy? You know, Kevin Durant is going to get his touches. James Harden is going to get his touches, his shots. Kyrie is probably going to be the guy that's going to be affected. And we all think that based on the caliber of player, that's the right pecking order. But the only question is Kyrie going to be cool with that? I don't know.
I would lean towards probably not. I mean, the reason why those work, I think there's a reason why we're at more duos than big threes now, especially when you're talking about guys of this caliber that need the ball in their hands and need shots. There's only one basketball. I mean, look in Miami. D-Wade, LeBron, Chris Bosh was the one that took the back seat.
He was clearly the third of the three.
Well, yeah, but you forget how good he was before he got to
in
Miami.
In Toronto, yeah.
And after, yeah.
Same thing with Kevin Love. Kevin Love was the same exact player, as very similar number-wise to Chris Bosh. And he's the one that took the back seat in Cleveland. I mean, the reason why I worked in Golden State was because, I mean, it was Draymond recruiting Kevin Durant, and then the personalities of Steph and Clay to allow KD to now become the best player on that team.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I mean, there's been enough of a sample size with Kyrie to say he probably doesn't buy into that.
And there's so much ball dominance there. Like, you look at Kevin Love, he didn't have to have the ball. You look at Chris Bosh, he didn't have to have the ball. Kyrie Irving needs the ball in his hands.
Yeah, but they also were good defenders, too. Kevin Love and Chris Bosh were good defenders. I mean, is Kyrie a great defender? James Harden's
well,
a great
with D'Antoni and Steve Nash on the staff, I don't know how much defense they're going to be preaching.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. You're going to put this on. Steve Nash hasn't coached before. This is what you're going to give him?
Okay, I mean, you hired him because he's got great relationships with these guys, so you would like to think if you got them all together on the same team, you'd be able to make it work. I mean, I guess that's what Sean Marks is thinking, but the fact that James Harden turned down that extension in Houston and, you know, he's making overtures toward the Nets, I mean, you would be led to believe that, you know, the three of them have talked about the possibility of joining up and making a super team. I mean, just on talent alone, they would be the favorite out of the East to go to the NBA Finals. There's no question about that.
I hope it happens.
There's no question about that in my mind. But, I mean, just because you get the most talented players on the same team doesn't make it a great team. And I think that's what we're speaking to, like the things that you can't measure, the intangibles, like how is all of that going to work?
I would take Harden. If I was Kevin Durant, I would rather Harden than Kyrie.
I agree with you.
Yeah, but you know that's not going to happen, Rick. No, I know. They're not going to include Kyrie Irving in a deal going back to Houston.
No, that would be like Houston, Rick. Do you want Kyrie Irving in return?
Well, you'd probably want something. I mean, that's now all of a sudden you're full rebuild. And I get it. You're not, I mean, if there's going to be no fans in the seats, you're not, I mean, that's not something you have to worry about. But, I mean, you just.
Well, if you're going to match salary anyway, Kyrie Irving isn't a bad piece to have.
Yeah, unless you want to go with, I mean, you're pretty much taken, you become now the Houston Nets with all the players you're going to get back for James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about LeVert, Dinwiddie, they want Jared Allen. So, I mean, the fact that what makes no sense to me, too, is from everything we've heard, and I've heard Kay say this a couple different times because he's close with Jeff Van Gundy, is that Russell Westbrook and James Harden were consulted about who the next head coach would be. And they both pushed back on Jeff Van Gundy. So if you let them help decide who the next head coach is going to be, and then all of a sudden you turn around and get rid of both of them, that doesn't make much sense either. But I mean,
unless you're ready to start fresh.
Well, but you're really not, though, because you offered James Harden a 2-year, $103 million extension.
He wants out so badly, he won't take $50-plus million a year.
That's crazy.
But
that's
he's going to get his money. He's going to make his money.
Now, I know he's going to make his money, Rico, but what he's saying is he doesn't want Tillman Fertitta's money. Like, you keep your money because I don't want to be here. That's sending a message to the owner loud and clear.
I don't know as much money as he's made in the fact that, I mean, he's still going to be James Harden. He's got the two plus the player option. Do you really want to be tied to Houston for the next 5 years? When, I mean, it may not be $50 million a year, but it's going to be pretty damn close wherever you end up going. You try to compete for a championship for 2 years, and then you decline your player option, and then you're a free agent. You get to assess where you want to be.
I think Brooklyn is the best pathway for James Harden to get a championship. Like, he's in the prime of his career right now. He is the best isolation player on the planet and probably a top five pick and roll player. Like, James Harden is special. What did he average, 36 points a game last year?
Yeah, he scores at will.
Like, he's unbelievable. He's a walking bucket. So, yeah, he's trying to compete for a championship. Right now it's about his legacy. And that's probably not going to happen if he stays in the West. Now, if he goes to the East and he joins the Nets, I mean, who in the East is going to be their competition? The Bucks, the Sixers, the Celtics. I don't think those teams are on that level. Not if you got Kyrie and KD.
Well, no, you got. I mean, you got two of the best. You got two of the best three scorers
in the world.
The NBA.
Yes,
in the NBA, and then you. I mean,
Kyrie. Assuming that Durant comes back.
Kyrie is the best ball handler in the NBA.
Yeah, he's probably got the best handle. So you got. I mean, even scoring wise too. I mean, he can score whenever he wants too. So I mean, you got
makes
three
it
of the
fun.
Best.
I'll tell you that.
No, it would be unbelievable for us.
It'd be great for us. I hope it happens.
And then crumbles. That would be.
I would like that as well. Yes.
That would be perfect.
Because it could.
It's amazing though. Brooklyn built this thing up from nothing when Sean Marks took over. Built it up from nothing. Developed assets and all of those different things. And then all of a sudden, KD and Kyrie get here, and you turn over control of your organization to those guys. I mean, you fired Kenny Atkinson because those guys wanted a different coach. And now you're considering shipping off all of these different players and draft picks in order to bring over James Harden because Kyrie and KD want to play with him. It's unbelievable how that happens, man.
What's going to happen for James Harden, though, when it's Kyrie's turn to coach? So this is going to be alternating coaching. Now it's all about Kyrie in that situation, I'd imagine. But not the way, I mean, that's the reason why you build it up, so you can take advantage of opportunities like this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this isn't Pierce Garnett. These guys are, I mean, assuming KD comes back, and from everything I've heard, you know, we've heard coming out of, you know, him playing pickup in L.A., is he looks like Kevin Durant. I mean, that's a completely different situation.
No, you become, the expectation is you go to the NBA Finals right away.
Right away.
No questions asked. That's the expectation, that you go to the NBA Finals at a minimum.
And that's how important a championship would be to Brooklyn, too, is that you'd be willing to everything that you built. I mean, they were a mess. And slowly but surely, they built it up where they have, I mean, all their own draft picks. They built a good nucleus of young players for this opportunity, I guess, is to get the championship.
Yeah. Puts you in contention. It's all you can ask for, right?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that is probably a little bit unfortunate is you never got a chance to see what this group of players would have looked like with a healthy KD and Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think they'd be legit.
Oh, I mean, there's good young players. Their upside is still going to the NBA Finals right now.
No, I know, but that would have been. I mean, I would have been interested to see what that looked like. Because that's. I mean, that was the benefit of KD going to Golden State. Was that, you know, they were the three guys, Draymond, Clay, and Steph. I mean, they were already the best team in the NBA.
They could, right? And they could keep their role players too.
Exactly right. And they all played together. They were familiar with the coaching staff and everything, the system, and it was just blending one player into their system. As opposed to now, these three haven't played together.
Mm-mm. Never once.
Never once. It's a crapshoot, but hey, I mean, you're talking about three of the most talented players in the NBA.
So do you guys think this is going to happen?
Yes.
Are they going to make this deal?
I think so.
Feels like it.
I think it gets done.
I got my fingers crossed that they do, just for us.
Yeah, it'd be a great story. Yeah, they'd be must-watch every single night. And then when they combust, it would be even better.
Then if you're the Knicks, you almost have to get Westbrook too, don't you?
Oh, God.
That would at least make the games interesting.
It would. Listen, I don't want Westbrook, but
I still don't like that. Yeah, I still don't
now,
like Westbrook.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, does he make the Knicks more of a conversation piece at the moment? Absolutely.
There's some
sizzle, but nobody around the NBA wants that contract. Nobody.
Currently, no one wants that contract. You're right.
Yeah, Zach Lowe and Brian Windhorst, they were saying it like that contract. Nobody has any interest in taking that off of Houston's hands. None.
It's tough. You a big fan of Of the gambler, Rick?
Big fan.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to heed that advice, too. Got no one to hold them, no one to fold them.
Oh, yeah.
No one to walk away.
You're not a poker guy, though, are you?
Big-time poker guy.
Really?
That's what we do on the plane rides.
Oh, would you? Now, I don't know that I can get an honest assessment. Do you consider yourself a good player?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't the best player on the team, but I was, mm-hmm. I mean, I held my own. Like,
fine.
I rarely lost money.
I see when the pot were to get big that you would become anxious, though.
I would say this. I was a very patient player.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Yeah, I wasn't. But then we had certain guys that were just, I mean, you could tell. We had one guy, like Dave Skatch, when he played. Like he would get so revved up that he'd have sweat from like his dress shirt from his elbow to his belly button.
Just from poker?
Just from poker. Like just sweating profusely. Disgusting. And then they had to shut it down because one guy lost so much money that he couldn't like, he didn't want to tell his wife he had to write a check for this amount of money. So he couldn't play for like 2 weeks. He was ruined.
Yeah, he wasn't allowed to play.
Like how much money started changing hands?
Too much.
Too much?
Well, because they thought it was a good idea that we wouldn't play with chips or real cash, is that we would just pay. We would play like you just write it down in a book, and yeah. you could go all in at any time, and then just get a refill. Like you want.
See,
if you
so
lose,
that's the problem. It's, yeah, exactly. Then it's not real money, and exactly. Then you're just playing with what you think is and pretend money, and all of a sudden you realize you're down 50 grand.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the fact that you can't actually see that, like physically see the money or the yes. chips in your hand. It's yeah.
I mean, yeah, I had one teammate buy another teammate a car. Oh. Because of the money that he lost in the card game. Now, it was Blu-ray. It wasn't poker. But, I mean, Dave, the stakes in the back of the plane when they're playing cards, they get up there, man.
Does it get yeah. crazy? Like, does crazy. It get heated and angry?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All of those things.
Yeah, bad beats. Or if a guy's, like, if you're playing Texas Hold'em, if a guy stays in with bad cards and then all of a sudden, you know, on the river hits it, and you got guys freak out. Like, what are you doing staying in with those cards? Oh, I had a feeling. And you want to punch that guy in the face. Yeah. Like AC Ducey, you start playing AC Ducey in the back of a plane. I've seen a guy lose a motorcycle. Gets ugly.
Yeah, you're talking about tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, Dave.
Now, would a guy ever say, you know what, sorry, I'm not paying?
No, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that. That's a fight. You can't do that.
No, they beg for a blue light, like where you cut them a break. Like, come on, we're teammates. Give me a break.
Yeah. Like a collection agency, like 50 cents on the dollar?
You got to pay up, though, Dave.
Yeah.
You got to pay up.
You can't say sorry.
This is not like the Bart Scott bet. You got to pay up.
Which is still not paid, apparently, from that comment.
No.
Mm-hmm. All right. Whether you're on the field or on the edge of your seat, Goodyear wants you to embrace the unexpected, every upset, touchdown, or fourth quarter comeback, and let it move you. No matter what the season throws your way, Goodyear is here to help you drive forward. Goodyear, more driven. 800-919-3776 as we continue the NBA conversation. Let's go to John in Queens. Johnny, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So really quick, I wanted to respond to the caller who said Leon Rose, comparing him to Brody Van Wagenen. I just wanted to say that had Leon made a trade for Westbrook or Chris Paul, you could probably say that that caller was onto something. But I think the inactivity that we're seeing, you know, him not giving up any young pieces or assets, it shows us that the new regime kind of has their stuff together. And I also wanted to
talk about... I don't know, John. Do we know that the Knicks are not going to bring in Russell Westbrook?
To be honest, I just don't see why that would make sense in any way. He doesn't fit our plan at all. We probably.
What is our plan? Could you explain to me what our plan actually is?
So to me, right now, you're in the stage of where Brooklyn was before they signed Kyrie and KD. You're kind of in the stage of where the Lakers were before they got LeBron, where you have a bunch of young players. Nobody's really proven much. Some of them were high picks. You have all your draft capital. So when something comes around, I think the Knicks will be ready. I don't think Russell Westbrook's that move. As far as that goes.
Yeah, but what happens if something doesn't come around, though? Like what happens if Devin Booker...
You're still going to have your cap room. You're still going to have flexibility. You're going to have your
Yeah, but you need...
Room.
But cap room is just air until you spend it. Like, if you become... I mean, if you just keep doing this, you know, we'll keep drafting well and trying to develop, but the stigma still surrounding the Knicks is it's a poorly run franchise that doesn't win a lot of basketball games, and people still don't want to sign with you, and there's no disgruntled superstars... Because their teams have done whatever it takes to make sure that they're happy where they're at. What I mean, how long are we looking at here?
I mean, to be fair, like we've always given up our draft picks. We've always given up on young talent. Like,
yeah, but I don't think you need to give up. I don't think you need to give up high end draft picks to get Russell Westbrook with the market right now out there for Russell Westbrook.
100%. You're right.
And do you really like? No one's saying give away the eighth overall pick. You're going to make the eighth overall pick, but does your later first round pick? I mean, in this kind of draft, would you not consider giving that up?
To be fair, like there's a couple names there that I was reading about. I can't name off the top of my head, but there was this power forward. There's a couple guys there, but you know, aside from
no,
that,
you give away the 27th pick. Like that's a no brainer. Like if it's the 27th pick for Russell Westbrook, you make that deal.
Yeah,
like this is going to come down to whether or not Leon Rose. And Tom Thibodeau think the upside of Russell Westbrook is worth limiting the flexibility that you could have over the course of the next 2 to 3 seasons.
Right, and that's
what it comes to.
Right, 100%. But I really want to bring up this James Harden to the next thing really quick before you guys let me go. So who's to say that they have to move him to Brooklyn just because this is what he wants, you know? They mortgage all their assets that they had for the future to make him happy there. And now they're going to, I think they're going to try to get as many as they can back by moving him. And they already started last night when they moved Covington for draft compensation this season and next season. And thanks for the call, guys.
I mean, no one's saying that they have to move him to Brooklyn because that's where he wants to go. It just seems like, you know,
it seems like the natural fit.
Well, not even the natural fit, but I mean, just with what's going on in the NBA, it seems when you have a disgruntled player, he tells the team where he wants to go, and the team ends up doing it.
Yes,
that's what it seems like ends up happening. Like AD ended up with the Lakers. Like if this is where James Harden is focused on going, Brooklyn has good pieces to add to Houston plus draft picks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, like James Harden, that or Philly.
Yeah, if James Harden wants to go to Brooklyn, that's really what's going to happen, right, Rick? Because we've talked about this before. In the player empowerment era, the players are almost partners with the owners. You know what I'm saying? So they have a tremendous amount of leverage. And then when you look at James Harden, I mean, he's one of the best players in the NBA. You'd probably say he's a top five, top six player in the NBA. So if he says he wants out of his current situation and he wants to go to Brooklyn, if you're one of those other teams, are you going to give the Houston Rockets the haul that it's going to take in order to bring James Harden into a situation that he didn't necessarily want? Probably not. So if you're Houston, your hands are, I don't want to say your hands are tied, but I mean, you have limited options. So it's almost like you're trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Right. Knowing that he wants to go to Brooklyn, the ideal from both sides is probably to work out a way to deal him there.
Yeah, and it worked out pretty good for the Pelicans, right? What they got in the AD trade?
Yeah, especially when the NBA fixes where they are and where they're going, absolutely.
Especially when the NBA fixes the lottery, so New Orleans gets Zion.
You're still not over that one, huh, Rico?
No, because that's what they did. I mean, let's face it, that's what they did.
Yeah, why? You were supposed to have Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson was supposed to be in the Madison Square Garden.
Oh. That's where he was supposed to be.
Yeah, he was.
You would feel completely differently about the Knicks right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, what would New Orleans be? Like, I mean, that having... Having Zion in New Orleans keeps – now New Orleans is relevant. They did New Orleans a solid. And they did Memphis a solid.
Ja Morant. Oh.
Even if you had Ja Morant,
either one
different.
Of those guys. If the Knicks had either one of them.
It's a shame. It's a shame. And I don't think R.J. Barrett is necessarily a bad player. By
yeah, but he's not on the same level
no,
as those
not
two
right
guys.
Now. Not right now.
But you need someone
by the way,
like Ja Morant.
The Giants player that has tested positive is probably their best player, Graham Gano. Has tested positive for COVID-19. So.
No one's safe.
No.
If a kicker can't stay socially distant, no one's safe.
No.
Do you realize?
Scary stuff.
Did he get it from the pen that he used to sign his contract? Like, how did that happen?
It's got to be at home. Yeah, he must have got it at home.
Okay.
Dave, can you? You know my wife and what I have to go through on a daily basis. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that we've been like the most cautious. But I would put
us
right up
pretty,
there.
Pretty far up there, I would say.
Okay.
Yes, I would agree
so
with that.
Yes.
I finally talked my wife into letting Milo go skate a couple times. Like, they had trials. I actually bought
him. Does he wear a full shield when he skates?
Yes. Okay.
Not only does he have a, I would think that wearing a full shield puts you in great standing as far as protection from COVID.
Not only does he have a full shield on, they sell now a mask that goes into the full shield. So he's the only, there's maybe two kids, him and one other kid. He's got the full shield plus the mask inside the shield. Plus, he doesn't take his mask off. Plus, he's got gloves on so he can't touch anything. A couple times. Sick already. Had to go get a COVID test.
Really?
Because we thought he had it.
And he tested negative?
Yeah, thank God, negative.
Yeah.
But still, spent the entire 8 full months. We go out of the house twice. And he could have been more bundled up.
It was like Silkwood bundled up.
He didn't touch anything. Like, I wouldn't even let him touch his water bottle. I gave him the water with gloves on, and he still somehow found a way to get sick. Unbelievable.
That's scary.
No kidding. So now it's a fight. Now I'm still trying to get
him. No, he's never going to skate again.
He has to.
He'll leave that. She's going to put a moat around the house.
And she would like to.
Yeah, I know.
She's got me with a mask, and I'm coaching, so I have a mask plus a gator. Plus, the gator has a mask in the actual gate. So I'm triple
it's
protected.
Triple?
Triple. And it's like up to my... She's trying to get me to wear glasses. I'm like, I'm not... Well, come on, Cassie. All you can see is my eyes. Relax, would you please?
She's worried.
No, I know. We got to
She's a brand new mom. I understand.
Listen, I get it. And I was promised that the third baby would be the easiest, which was a blatant lie.
Well, how can anybody make that promise?
I got bamboozled. She promised me.
You can't make that promise.
She promised me the third would be the easiest. I promised her.
And you fell right for it.
Fell right.
Now you have it. There's no out.
I can't say no.
Right, exactly. There's nothing you can do. She wins. They always win.
They always win.
I promise you.
Can't decline Rocco's options.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, yes. Run amok, and flat out deceived.
He's about 3 months old.
He's about 12 weeks.
He's about 12 weeks. The Saints are about 7-2.
Yeah. He's about 12 pounds.
No, he's a big boy, but you can't put him down. He's humongous, but he refuses to be put down.
Oh God!
Like he could be
you're going to play right into that.
But we have no choice.
Well,
he screams bloody murder. Like he could be in a full sleep, you put him down, and he's up immediately, screaming.
Oh my goodness! All right, quick break. Come back. Andy from Eric is ready to go. I'm told it's NBA trivia today, and
then
we'll
have. Yesterday was brutal. By the way.
How was it brutal?
It wasn't. I mean, that was not great.
It was fine.
I didn't love it.
It was bad on Andy's part, on my part. Who upset you?
No, Andy. I thought you were great. Andy was not great.
Okay. Well, Andy will be better.
I'd also like to mention, too, when we go out, since we have CMT coming up, I would like you, too, to both check out the new NHL retro jerseys.
Okay.
Because I will be including a retro jersey question on CMT.
Okay. I will bring them up on the screen for CMT coming away. Let's bring him in, the one, the only, who Rick is disappointed with. That is Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy. What is happening here?
What's going on with Andy?
Yeah, that's fine. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make the show.
I don't think that was Andy.
No.
That did not sound like
Andy.
It was
a man trying to make a deal, it sounded like.
It sounded like he's making a deal.
Yeah, maybe that was someone from Merrill Investing. So let's try this again.
We'll
rewind. Santiago's got a lot going on. Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR.
That's where it like is.
We got some bugs to work out in the new studios, my friends. You with me?
No, we're with you.
No, we're with you. I don't know. That didn't seem like
what were you looking for from us at that moment? Yes, we do, Andy. Yes, we do.
You betcha.
CeCe, do you know what tomorrow night is?
NBA Wednesday. Draft, right?
That's right. And Rick, do you know where the exclusive radio home for the NBA draft is?
I'm going to say 98.7 ESPN Radio.
My guys.
My men.
All right. Today I'm taking you into the NBA draft world with four questions about your New York Knickerbockers.
Let's slowly answer these today. We're not going to rush. We're not just going to throw answers out. Let's conglomerate and we'll work together. Go ahead, Andy.
I had to hit a post yesterday. You know about hitting a post, Rick.
Not enough posts, in my opinion. That's just good angles, Andy.
All right. The last time the Knicks drafted a Big Ten player was whom?
The last time
Big Ten player.
Now, could it be Tim Hardaway, guys?
Yeah.
Yes?
Michigan's very own Tim Hardaway, yeah.
All right. We'll go 2013, I believe, Tim Hardaway.
2013, Tim Hardaway. Bang. All right. Since 1985, the Knicks have drafted two players from DePaul University. Name those two blue demons.
Ross Strickland.
Nice.
Bang.
Mm, what else did they draft from DePaul?
Rod Strickland.
That's the one that pops out of my mind because he's a Bronx guy.
Oh, still in the NBA, I believe.
I believe he is.
Uh-huh. Was he involved in the Melo trade?
Name that blue demon, Dave.
Wilson Chandler.
2007.
Nice, Dave.
Let me ask a quick radio question. I'm not allowed to use Mike Breen in Cuddle, Marry, Trash, but for anything else, we can use it.
You're looking for Andy to give you insight on that?
No, it just makes no sense. All right, let's go.
Since 2000, the Knicks have invested two first-round picks on Arizona Wildcats. Name them.
Channing Frye. Michael Wright was a second-rounder.
Channing Frye is correct, and
Jordan Hill, the infamous.
Hey now, guys, are hot today. And finally, the New York Knicks have drafted three players that went on to win the Rookie of the Year. Can you name two of them?
Ooh, good one.
Not Mike Sweetney.
No.
No.
Rookie of the Year's.
Well, it's Patrick, no?
Patrick's one.
So this could be going back a ways then.
Yeah, I feel like it is, Dave.
Oh, I'm talking to the guys before I'm looking for an... Was Mark Jackson Rookie of the Year?
I think he was.
Was he?
Yeah, I think he was. Let's go,
1987,
Mark Jackson.
1987, Rookie of the Year, Mark Jackson.
Yes, David.
There you go, Dave.
You guys won. Man. You already won the round. Do you want to venture in on that third guess?
Willis Reed?
Grambling State University, the captain, Willis Reed. Nice, Dave.
And there we have it.
Fellas, let's be careful out there. As always, stay healthy, boys.
All right. He was much better today. You give him two thumbs up for that.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Yeah. Did very well.
It was
timely.
Topical. It was relevant.
Yep. Tease the draft coming up tomorrow night on 98.7.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.